Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 392 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Gerard.
Gerard is back. We really invited him back, one, because he's awesome, and two, because he's got a buttery-sounding, sweet microphone that we just wanted to prove that somebody on this podcast could sound like they know what they're doing.
I pretend really hard, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, what are you going to bring today, Gerard? What's your fact about what's really getting you going lately?
Wow, so you're going to start with me. All right. Well, I play a lot of video games. I think my last one on here was actually a video game trivia tidbit. I have a new one. So there's a game I've been playing recently. It's called Fall Guys. I don't know if you guys play video games. It is one of the most rage-inducing games I have ever played, but I have so much fun doing it with my friends online. And the biggest problem we've had recently are a lot of cheaters. Now, they recently just came out with an anti-cheat engine they put on there, which has helped curb a lot of that. But that really made me wonder, like, there are a lot of cheaters in a lot of online games. So I wanted to look up and I wanted to see which country has the highest rate of online game cheaters online. So I said online twice.
USA. USA.
I'm so tired of winning. But yeah, that's the question. So which country in the world has the highest amount of cheaters in online gaming?
Now, is total this number or per capita?
Per capita.
Okay.
That changes.
Changes a lot.
That changes a lot. Okay, so I just Googled Fall Guys.
It is fantastic.
You don't know what Fall Guys is?
No. What video games do I play?
No, none, I guess. I don't know. Game. It's just very much part of the cultural zeitgeist at this moment.
It's very accessible. Anyone can play it.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it. I'm going to be very, very honest with you guys that I've never even heard of this game. It didn't cross my brain at even remotely and came across. So I don't know, I don't know what cultural zeitgeist I'm in, but not this one. I did Google image it though, and the colors look like it would be a lot of fun. I've played Super Smash Brothers, and it feels like a very colorful hot dog related version of that.
Yeah, it's more of a obstacle coursey wipeout version of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, like most extreme elimination challenge. Yeah.
Stuff I missed that show.
Okay, you have my attention now. I will say I do play Killer Queen sometimes and have played an occasional video game. This is not helpful at all in remote in like relation to the question. Okay, so guys, countries of cheaters. So
for me, the per capita thing really throws a wrench into it. Because when he originally asked the question, I started thinking about the countries with the biggest gaming population. So
South Korea,
China, yeah. The US. But a per capita.
Okay, here, let me reread, because I need to look at here and make sure I'm giving you the right information. So it says here, countries featured are the 100 biggest based on population size and are adjusted according to data availability. Games featured are the most played online multiplayer titles over the year, yada yada yada. So that's how they rank them. Was
population of cheaters. So it's not population, per capita. It's just straight number of cheaters.
Straight up cheaters.
Okay, straight number. Okay.
Based on population size, yeah.
Well, I'm sticking with the USA. We like to be number one, and we'll cheat our way to get there. So I'm sticking with the United States.
It's a pretty solid guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, I've said this before, we're like the Yankees of the Olympics, you know? Like, you don't like to think of us like that, but we really are hated in terms of a lot of reasons. So I'm sticking with America.
Okay.
I'm going to say that, a lot of the cheating, I feel like the Eastern European bloc is a good place for that, right? That's where most of the hackers and the telemarketers, it's either, you know, Southeast Asia or that sort of Eastern European, Latvia, Lithuania kind of place. That being said, I'm going to go for something that's been a little more newsworthy recently and say Ukraine.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Michael, what are you saying?
I'm playing, quite frankly, logic here. So I'm going to say one of the countries with a bigger overall population and therefore a bigger slice of everything else.
Yeah.
So for me, that's going to come down to India or China. And I'm going to lean towards India just because I think they might have a more loose ban policy on different types of games.
Hmm. Look at you, Logic.
Yeah. I'm going to go. So I'll go India.
All right. Well, actually, so let's go through what the article calls the Hall of Shame. We're going to start with number 10. So number 10 is Azerbaijan. Number 9 is Romania. 8, Algeria. 7, Bulgaria. 6, Greece. 5, Portugal. 4, Pakistan. 3, Iraq. 2, Georgia. And 1, Brazil. So Brazil is actually the top. And there is one caveat, though. And they say that there is a massive hole in the data thanks to the Great Firewall of China.
Of China, yeah.
So there is no data there. And they're saying, you know, there's a lot of examples of that. And particularly, I can attest to this. And I played a lot of PUBG back in the day. I say back in the day. That's literally maybe
two years
ago. It feels like so long ago. But 99% of the cheaters in PUBG came from China. In fact, they would invade other servers, including the U.S. servers, the U.K. servers, and that they're all mostly from China. But other than that outlier, yeah, number one is Brazil for their worst countries in online cheating.
So Michael was on the right track with sort of largest countries. Brazil is what, the fifth largest or sixth largest population, something along those lines.
I think so.
That sounds right. I'm by no means an expert, but that sounds right.
Okay, and so then, let's say I want to start playing Fall Guys, though, but how do I cheat? I don't have a lot of Brazilian friends. I could make more Brazilian friends, but how do I cheat? How do I win?
Well, that's the thing.
I mean,
a Brazilian
friends is a lot of friends, though.
I mean, they're all done with bots, though. These bots, these little hacks, and it's mostly in PC. PS4, that was the other platform that Fall Guys came out on. There wasn't that much cheating on there because it's a little harder to cheat with the consoles, but there was a big population of PS4 players because that was a free game if you were on PlayStation Plus. Right. So it made a big splash there. But the two places you can find Fall Guys right now was on PS4 and PC.
The two biggest cheats, Lindsay, were players would make themselves faster or would make themselves float. So on games that are either races or don't fall games, that's pretty much all you need in order to win outright.
That's what I really needed in Mario Kart. Is just I needed more bumpers, you know? I just would fall up, and then I would go reverse for way too long. Not an acceptable level of reversing. Which, by the way, very quickly, if you are playing Mario Kart and you don't have enough controllers for everyone, I highly recommend a shared controller race. We had 8 people, 4 racers, and one person each had one with their hand. So I had the steering, Joey had the driving. The brothers were like, there was a pair of brothers that each had one side of the controller, and it was a hoot. So it was an absolute hoot. Please take that. But let's go into our next fact now. So
that's that next level of thinking that I love from Lindsay. Because that sounds like so much fun.
It is a ton of fun, so I wanted to at least participate in the video game chat. So, Nick, Michael, do you guys have a segue, or do I need to make a very, very big stretch?
I don't have a good one.
I don't, not even close.
Oh, you, Lindsay. We believe in you, Lindsay.
All right, well, let's do this. So, you know, I could say that video games cost money, and my fact is about money, but I feel like that would be boring. I feel like most video games here really involve an epic quest where you are going out and exploring previously uncharted territory, a new territory. You know, you buy a new game, you get a new territory, you want to discover it. And if you're thinking that way, you're probably thinking like Thomas Jefferson did back in the early 1800s when the Louisiana Purchase came to be. And he was like, man, this is a territory that we need to get to exploring. And obviously that turned into the Lewis and Clark expedition.
I have no
true
words.
That was good. you got my vote. That was good.
We got there. So the reason that this Lewis and Clark came to mind. So this week, as the episode is airing, September 23rd actually marked the end of their expedition. That's when they came rolling in into St. Louis in 1806, ending their journey, came back 2.5 years out and about exploring the Louisiana Purchase all the way out to the West Coast. You guys know about that. So I was curious as to how did this get started? How did Jefferson go to Congress and say, hey, I want to do this thing? Because there were Spanish territories out there, you know, the relationships with Britain and France were kind of a little bit. So he actually had to go and send a secret message to Congress asking for the starting funds for this expedition. So my question to you guys, in today's dollars, how much did Thomas Jefferson ask Congress for the Lewis and Clark expedition? So he did it in secret, but I'd like to know in today's dollars, the expedition ended up costing considerably more than this, but the original ask, the secret ask to Congress.
Can I ask just a quick clarification question? Mm-hmm. How were the relations between the U.S. and the British at this time? You said that.
They weren't really quite grand, you know?
They weren't new.
They were like, ooh.
There it is. Okay, just want to make sure I had that down right.
Yeah, and so Jefferson was like, I don't want to really, you know, put it out there that we're going to be chilling and walking through some outside territories, basically. He did get permission from the British and French ambassador, and the Spanish ambassador at the time was like, nah, but they still did it anyway.
Because what are they going to do? They're gonna send an army on a boat from Spain, and 6 months after the expedition is over, they'll show up and go, now you get out of here.
Yeah, well, they were a little bit worried of finding U.S. soldiers in Spanish territory, but they never really, you know, the wilderness is vast, so they didn't really run into anybody that would cause a real big war. So
it's a large country.
Yes, very large. So guys, what was the original ask in today's dollars, Jefferson to Congress?
Did they anticipate it being 2.5 years?
They had a general idea that it would take a long amount of time.
All right, so let's look at that. I think we can crowdsource this. How much, Michael, would that kind of expedition, the initial funding, be for that kind of expedition?
I mean, my immediate thought was just in the supplies and stuff like that, it's going to probably depend on the number of people you have in your expedition.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what that number is, anybody off the top of your head?
Let's go with 30.
I was thinking about 30 as well. Today's money, what do you think? $40 a day, just kind of in supplies, $40 to $50 a day.
Okay. Times 20 people.
Yeah, times 30 people.
Let's say $50 a day times 30 people is $1,500 a day. And what are we looking at? 6-8 weeks?
More 6 months? That, I was thinking minimum year.
Yeah, a year, I think.
A year? Okay. So times 365, you're looking at $550,000.
For the record, it was 37 people, right about 37. So two officers, five NCOs, 30 enlisted men, 3 permanent civilians, 12 temporary civilians. So that's like throughout the whole quest, just so you guys know. I don't know if that would help you.
Okay, so $550,000. Give or take. And what is that in
$1,800? Well, she's asking for it in today's money.
Dollars. This is according to inflation calculator something.com. I don't know. I'll put a link to it, but whatever was the first thing that popped up, free inflation calculator. So I took the amount that he asked for in 1803 to 2020 dollars.
Okay. So 550. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm going to take that money and add another 200,000 for incidentals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say $750,000.
$750,000.
All right. Yeah, I like that. I'll bet a dollar, Bob, just in case.
Okay.
I'll wager a dollar.
So I'm gonna key in on something that Lindsay said earlier in the question that I think belies the calculations we just did a little bit. She said the initial investment. How much is the starter capital for that kind of expedition? Because that's not what it actually cost. So if we're assuming it would take about $500,000 to do that now, then I would say 10% is the starting cost. So I'm going to say $50,000. And then you'll collect the rest of it over time.
Cool. All right. So you guys were pretty close with your logic. So in 1803, Jefferson secretly asked Congress for $2,500. So $2,500 to equip the Corps of Discovery to go out and go on their epic quest. So $2,500 in 1803, which comes out to $57,000 roughly dollars in today's money. So $57,503.98 in 2020 equivalent dollars. That ended up costing considerably more. I don't have the exact number, and they don't really have the exact number, but a pretty cool thing. And some of the only mechanical things that they brought back with them, just a bonus fun fact, this is how I found out of it. I went camping recently and had a little Dutch oven guidebook. And it said that Lewis and Clark only brought back some of their guns and their Dutch oven. I couldn't verify it any other way. And so that's why I went down this other path. But bonus fun facts, they used a Dutch oven or a cast iron on their journey.
Anybody else here ever use a Dutch oven?
I make a hell of a peach cobbler in a Dutch oven.
I have never.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So there you guys go. Lewis and Clark. Let's go in. Michael, Nick, you got a segue here.
So speaking of Dutch ovens and food.
boo. Okay. It's not even related to the fact. Boo.
Hey, it's related to the conversation. All right. So the Lewis and Clark expedition, I don't know how much you know about it, but based on what I understand, it did not generally go well. It was pretty much a disaster. And speaking of disasters, there are these things called hurricanes, and they've been all over the place recently.
I thought we were about to segue to my personal life. I was like, oh, God. For
the record, Lewis and Clark was not really a disaster. Like, there was a lot of things that went wrong, but wasn't a lot of injuries, not a lot of death. Overall, it went about as well as you could expect it to go. However, for the sake of the segue, I will.
Well, I'm just saying they got lost a lot. They didn't really know where they were most of the time. You know, it didn't go to plan. Yeah. My interesting fact is actually about Walmart and the two products that just before a hurricane in regions of the United States, just before a hurricane, there are two products that shoot up in sales more than anything else right before a hurricane hits.
Ooh.
What are those two items?
Toilet paper.
Water.
Yeah, I was going to say potable water.
Water.
Is this through the South?
Well, it's where hurricanes hit, so yes.
Okay.
Is hitting in Iowa.
Here's where I'm thinking.
Minnesota hurricanes, you know?
I know here in Virginia, you have to go get liquor, for example, at an ABC store.
Correct.
So I'm wondering, other than places like, I don't know what the liquor laws in like Louisiana may be, but I imagine they're a little looser.
I based on my experiences in Louisiana, uh-huh.
Right. Like, does anybody here have experience outside of New Orleans? Like,
well, I know when I was living in Florida, I was living in the Panhandle area, and whenever a hurricane came, the two things we always got was water and non-perishable goods, so canned goods. Those are the two things we always got and stocked up on. I remember my garage just having stacks and stacks of these 5-gallon water things whenever big hurricanes were coming through, and that's what was usually sold out. Oh, wait. Also, that's a hard no gas. That's another one. People hit gas stations. I mean, lines going all the way down the highway. You can't get gas. It takes you an hour to get gas, and it might run out by the time you even get to the pump after you stood in line for a while. So, you know what? I scratch that. I'm going to say water and gas. That's my two.
I'm going to go bread.
Ooh.
Only because I've seen enough joke pictures and stuff like that on the internet to where the bread aisle is gone. Hurricane's coming.
Yeah, you live in DC. You've seen that firsthand when there's a hint of a possibility of maybe a snowflake falling.
Snow. Yeah, it might snow. Bread aisle's gone.
Interesting.
All right, I'm sticking with toilet paper. And I think, Nick, when you said this, your segue was speaking of food. And I don't know if you just did that to make a segue or you know, it is a food product.
They are consumable products. Yes, they are human consumable products. So Gerard's guess of gas is not, you know, impossible. It's just less possible.
No, hey, gas is a delicacy in some parts of Louisiana. Thank you very much. No kidding.
I think that water is definitely a safe one. I guess canned goods, that's what you'd think that you would get. But I think, Michael, maybe you hit it on that people just want their bread, but that only lasts for a couple of days. I don't know. What's the answer?
All right. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you the canned goods for everybody who said that, because technically that is correct. However, not so much the way you meant it. Number one item that jumps in sales at Walmart's right before a hurricane is beer. So,
see, I was think, on the right track.
Yeah,
though.
Michael nailed right it. Track. Yeah, Michael had it with the alcohol, and the other two said canned goods. So I'm going to give each of you a half a point on that. So that was a good one. The other one is the one that absolutely blew my mind, because I cannot personally come up with how far down my list this would be. And yet it's number two overall in reality. Strawberry Pop-Tarts.
What?
Are number two on the list of items that sell out before a hurricane from Walmart.
Okay, here's why people are just wrong here. Brown sugar and cinnamon. Like, just by far the superior option.
Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Yeah,
yeah, that's number one.
Yeah. But we are talking Walmart, so... You know, yeah. They're not shooting for the best. They're shooting what's there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you'd have a higher percentage of strawberry Pop-Tarts available, I guess. Maybe the brown sugar ones go first. And also, you know, if it's a hurricane, you want to make sure you get your fruits and veggies. So I get that. You want to get the more nutritional value from your strawberry Pop-Tart.
Hey, purple is a fruit.
Pop-Tarts, by the way.
The purple icing one, oh my gosh. Our friends and I just had a very long group chat about our favorite Pop-Tarts, and I realized I haven't had one like in a store, you know, like the DC has the Ted's Bulletin and the adult Pop-Tarts and all of those things, but I haven't had like a Pop-Tart in a long time. And we said we were going to start a Pop-Tart of the Month club where we just buy a box and try the different ones so we can sample them again.
The purple one's good. I like the purple one.
Yeah.
Can we have purple as a fruit as our...
A secret phrase? That's a Simpsons line. I'll put that link in too.
Okay.
Yep. What is it? Purple is a fruit?
Purple is a fruit. Love
purple
it.
Purple is a fruit. Okay, Michael, you got to bring us home here with your last fact of the day. Get that segue going on.
That I can do. One of the things we do here on the We Don't Know Either podcast is we use a lot of words.
Okay.
So my fact is word-based. What is the only English word that has three consecutive repeated letters?
Ooh.
Nick knows it. Look at Nick.
This is literally the first tiebreaker question I ever asked as part of District Trivia, maybe 12 years ago. It's the first one. It was like week three of the company. This is the question I asked, and it was right off the top of my head. Nice. Also, any tip for anybody who's ever going to start your own trivia company, you know, in the after times, don't use this question as a tiebreaker, because the odds are neither team will get it right. The terrible tiebreaker question.
So say it again, Michael.
What is the only English word with three consecutive double letters?
Three consecutive double letters. I have no idea. And I feel like this is one that you either know it or you don't. Clearly, Nick knows it. Clearly, yeah, I don't.
I don't know.
Yeah, so like Mississippi would be close, but not correct. Because it's S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. So it has three sets of double letters, but they're separated by the I.
Right.
Oh,
so
okay.
So you need
okay.
to have so all thinking- three sets of like A, A, B, B, C, C.
Oh, okay. Okay. Still doesn't help me, but I understand better now, because I was thinking like noodle with like a lot of O's. I wasn't sure. Like,
six O's in noodle would be correct.
Gerard got it right. Congratulations.
Yeah, it is noodle.
It is noodle.
Well,
that would have been a great secret phrase.
Is noodle a fruit? Okay. So... My brain went immediately to aardvark, which I know is the wrong answer, but now I'm just envisioning aardvarks and I can't really go from picturing this animal into thinking about words. So that's on me.
All right, Michael, can I give them a hint?
Please.
Think accounting.
Oh, great. That's definitely something I'm aware of and know that it exists and care about. Cool. Yeah.
I'm really glad, by the way, your hint matched my actual word. I was just like, oh God.
I think it could have been a second word with three.
Yeah, I'm just
what,
think
what
accounting. Jeez, what spreadsheets, TPS reports.
It's not accounting. All right. Let me
reconciliation.
So who does like the data entry, right? Like the accountant does the analysis. Who does the data entry?
the bookkeeper? I don't know.
Congratulations, Gerard.
Was that it?
Bookkeeper is the correct answer.
B-O-O-K-K-E-E-P-E-R. Bookkeeper. O-O-K-K-E-E.
Oh, look at... Ding!
Hey, hang on a second, though. I was going to submit my guess, which was bookkeeping, and I feel like that should also be accepted.
Sure.
Thank also, you, guys.
What happens if you have more than one bookkeeper?
Yeah.
Then you have bookkeepers. I think the point is that it's the root word.
The root.
The root word. Well, Michael, you had a very interesting fact, and Gerard, you got it. Well done.
Yeah, I did it. I did it. We use words here.
We use words good.
We do the words good.
Yes. Enjoy your words. Enjoy your nudes. Enjoy your purple fruits. That's why I always say, if I'm making noodles, I say, hey, can you send nudes, you know, but send the nudes to my plate. Am I the only person that does that?
Yeah. That's a you thing.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard that one.
I'm like, oh,
when Joey's talking to you and using the same terminology, he's not talking about dinner.
I'm going out
on a limb, and I'm just going to make that assumption.
I'm part Italian, so I make a pretty mean pasta. But anyway, on that note, send nudes, but in the pasta variety. Purple is a fruit. The end. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
Michael.
I'm Gerard.
And we don't know either.
Bye.
Bye.